Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, life balance coach for better adulting, martial artist, instructor, creative artist, wife, mother, and all-around person. Thank you for joining me on the show as we learn together how to make an impact through personal growth, responding to challenges, making choices, and learning more about our identity, belonging, and purpose. On to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Deacon. It is a pleasure to be with you again this week. I am excited to be doing this episode today, because it is something that came up for me kind of unexpectedly, but not entirely, because sometimes those things that are underlying come up and it's surprising, but not. So I had a revelation a couple of months ago, and I'm going to talk about that today. And the topic of today's episode is creative intelligence. And it starts with a story a couple months ago. I was at home and we were just kind of hanging out, chilling out on like a Saturday night. And my son, my middle son, who's 10, he asked me to play a game of chess with him. He had literally just lost two games against his dad. And, you know, since I've never really been a huge chess player, I said yes to playing with him. And I told him something about how he would probably win because I'm not a very good chess player. And that's the story I told. Well, I'm not very good, so you'll probably beat me. So yeah, let's play. And I was hoping, you know, again, as the mom, I was hoping, well, you know, since I'm not very good, hopefully he'll win because he's been playing chess at school and everything like that. So the first thing that happened in response to me saying yes was that my kid, my 10-year-old, totally called me out on my negative self-talk. And I think all of them did, maybe even the 7-year-old and the 14-year-old as well. They totally called me out about the self-talk that I brought out. Oh, I'm not very good. They called me out. So it tells me that I am doing or saying something that is resonating enough with them that they heard it and are able to teach it back to me. So that was cool. The second thing that happened was I won two games of chess against my 10-year-old. The third thing that happened was that both my son and my husband made this offhand remark about my intelligence. So the first thing, I'm not going to spend too much time on the fact that my kids called me out. I think I already expressed the fact that that was really, really awesome because, hey, parents, there's hope. They do absorb more than we think they do. And whether that's good or not, well, that depends on the kind of example we set now, doesn't it? Anyway, now, as for the second thing, I did win. I won two games of chess against at the time, my fourth grader. Our approach with family games has been to play with integrity of our own. We teach them that the lessons are important of both winning and losing with a positive attitude. Because for me, playing a game is about having fun, being connected, you know, laughing together, and, you know, just playing a game. So although we have occasionally put a thumb on the scale, maybe to level the playing field at times, especially when they're just learning a game, you know, we allow some do-overs or maybe lessen the consequences of a mistaken action or something as they learn. For the most part, the adults, my husband and I, we do not necessarily have this practice of letting our kids win or letting each other win, not even when they're little. And that is apparent because my youngest is very adept at not winning because he plays against his older brothers and he plays against us. And so we actually believe that this builds resilience in them. And again, it teaches them to love the game for the experience and not be 100% invested in the outcome or the victory. The third thing, the comments about my intelligence, that is what is inspiring this episode, this conversation. So a while back, around the same time that this happened, I actually had been discussing a process of working through a false belief that I discovered I was holding onto. And I may have touched on it even in the podcast, but I'm not sure that I really have, maybe some posts or something on social media. Anyway, I discovered that I was believing a certain thing. And the belief that I was holding on to was this: artistic people cannot also be intelligent people. Oof, right? I mean, come on. What? Like, what? I mean, in my mind, I know that that's it's really not true in my mind, but I could feel it in my body. I could believe it. And I realized that I was believing it. I was acting and moving out of this belief. I had a story created that a person is either artistic or they're smart. Smart people are not necessarily artistic, and artistic people are not smart. And I'm not sure exactly where this belief came to me from, but there's plenty of evidence out there to suggest that it had maybe something to do with some societal programming. You see, I was told as a kid who wanted to be an artist that I would never be able to, quote, make a living as an artist. The thing is, that's all I ever wanted to be, was an artist. So I had to separate the two ideas, the making a living from being an artist. So that was one part of it. And I don't know how many times I was told this, and maybe it was only once, one very impactful time. Could have been hundreds of thousands of times that I was told this, or I heard some variation of this belief that you can't make a living as an artist. I got good grades in school, high school. I didn't take any AP or honors classes because I chose the arts. I chose art, theater, choir, those kinds of experiences instead. And the reason for this, even though I had friends who were doing both, but the reason was my interpretation of the teachers, the signals, the parents, whatever. I interpreted whatever signals I was getting from other people, media, teachers, parents, like I said, that I had to choose. It was either or. Well, if I did AP, I couldn't do art. Or if I did honors level classes, then I couldn't be in the school play. Even though, again, like I said, I had friends who were doing both. But whatever I was internalizing was that I couldn't. I had to choose. So when I went to college, I wanted to continue doing art and performing, but no one really told me how those skills would translate to a, quote, real job in the, quote, real world. You know, that whole making a living thing. So I majored in English because I was told, I heard, somebody told me, I believed that at least with a degree in the liberal arts, such as English, I would be perceived to have high levels of communication skills that would be valued by the types of organizations that hired people for those, quote, real jobs I had been hearing so much about needing instead of being an artist, right? So here's, again, reinforcing this idea of having to choose between. I could get a, you know, standard education or have a real job, make a living by this liberal arts education, or I could go into the fine arts and not be a waste of time or whatever. I don't, whatever messages I was getting, I don't even know. So after college, throughout grad school, I continued to prove my intelligence in the ways that places like these measure. I earned decent grades. I earned a bachelor's degree, followed by a master's degree a few years later. All the while, I had this underlying program that told me I couldn't trust any of it, actually. And maybe that's why I chose the Master of Fine Arts program in poetry writing that I did. Because it kept me, you know, just close enough to being artistic, and yet gave me the credentials, the course experience, the knowledge, the intelligence, whatever, or the proof of it, even if I didn't believe I was acquiring it, that could validate my choice in a more creative field. I don't know. It's all very confusing. But essentially, this belief of mine that artistic people were not intelligent, intelligent people could not be artistic, that belief really kept me playing small and thinking that I could only do the types of jobs that, quote, starving artists or struggling performers take until they make it in the arts, in performing, in whatever. And since I wasn't actually like really, really super gung-ho about acting or being like making a living as an artist, I even wasn't looking at that as a goal of making it as an artist because I was told I never could. So I wasn't even going after something in the arts that was concrete that I could put my finger on a specific goal or a specific measure of making it, right? Yet I took those jobs that starving artists take while they're, you know, honing their craft and looking to make it. But I wasn't. I was waiting tables. I was working retail. I took an office job that, you know, offered me plenty of message board and blog reading hours while I thought about what I might want to do for real. Art was for my spare time. Writing poetry was for the rare in-between spaces around real life. Singing stayed in the shower, and my voice came out mostly at church. And so I just continued to do that thing, believe that art was a hobby and not a profession. I did a lot of reading because I love to read and I love to learn, honestly. I think part of maybe my belief in my, or my lack of belief in my intelligence led me to constantly pursue growth, learning, education, in whatever form it took. When I entered my childbearing years, I researched birth and babies and breastfeeding and discipline. I checked books out from the library constantly about subjects that piqued my curiosity. I talked to smart people. I talked to business owners and entrepreneurs, and I learned about what they were learning. I stayed open, curious, and pursued growth and knowledge like it was going out of style. And this was like, man, early days of the internet too, where there was like blogs and articles and tons of actually fairly reliable information where I could start to make sense of what I believed or what I wanted to know. I could learn different sides of things, and I had access to all of that. All this while still considering myself not smart enough to do anything real with any of it. I mean, how heartbreaking is that? I believed this lie. And I didn't even realize that this was something I believed until just recently, just a few months ago. I mean, it's crazy. Like crazy, like mind-blowing, not crazy like insane, right? I know that intellectually, I know in my mind, intellectually, that the smartest people in the world are also exceptionally creative. They have to be, right? And the most creative people possess an enviable amount of intelligence when compared to less creative types. Now, as a side note, I also happen to believe that we, each and every single one of us on earth, no exceptions. Every one of us are creative, no matter how you might identify, right? And that's maybe a conversation for another day. Companies are seeking out people who think differently than the people who have been thinking for the company before, right? They're looking for creative people. They're looking for, you know, outside the box. The move to celebrate and promote creative intelligence is happening right now. Has probably been happening for a while. I just haven't been aware of it, right? How did I change this belief? How did I stop believing this lie? To be honest, I'm still working on it. I am still working on it. So coming back to that experience, you know, playing chess with my son and talking, you know, maybe a little bit less than kind about my abilities in the department of chess playing. When I heard my son and my husband actually call me smart, it was, you know, an offhanded remark like, oh, mom's smart. It floored me. It honestly like blew my mind because I didn't consider myself smart ever. I mean, I know I have knowledge. I know I'm intuitive and wise and whatever, but smart, intelligent, what? Like I can tell myself that I am. I'm doing the things that smart people do. I read, I write, I think about my thoughts and question my own beliefs. I have intelligence, but am I smart? Did I identify with it? No, I didn't. Right? The belief that I'm not smart wasn't coming from the people around me who had told me, you'll never get a real job or you'll never make a living as an artist or as a creative person. The belief wasn't coming from them. It's my response to what I was being told that created the belief. I created the belief inside me. Yes, it was influenced by the environment around me. And I chose to adopt such a belief. I had actually created a story that even my husband did not see or value my intelligence. I was projecting, I was blaming him for the feeling I felt about being dismissive of how smart I am, right? I was, you know, constantly trying to prove, hey, I'm smart. Look, I'm doing these things. Look, I'm reading these things. And yet I didn't feel smart because I couldn't necessarily always communicate what I had been learning, the knowledge that I had gained. It wasn't my husband. It wasn't him. It was me. I put it on myself. I focused on my perceived lack of intelligence. I didn't value the intelligence that I had. I didn't think I could be smart and artistic, and I chose artistic. And I'm intentionally talking in a way that it's putting this in the past. I didn't believe it. I had put that on myself, right? I'm choosing, mindfully choosing the past tense to talk about this belief because that's the way we change beliefs. It's the way I try to change beliefs by changing my language. And I talk about this on occasion, every once in a while. If you've talked to me any length of time, you know that words are so very important. And am I perfect at it? Nope. But if I talk about it enough as though it's in the past, eventually, I know it will be in the past. See, because I use my fancy English degree to create new language for the new beliefs I want to adopt. I use affirmations. I repeat new ways of interpreting the world around me until I find myself wondering whether I even believe the old thing anymore at all. And as I was preparing this episode, I even came up with what I thought was a brand new word, smartistic, right? Smart, artistic, smartistic. It flows beautifully. It combines beautifully. It's a beautiful word enmeshment. When I typed the word smartistic, however, my spell check didn't even flinch. I didn't even get those little red wavy lines under it. Because here's another thing, some more evidence that having to choose between creativity and intelligence is a lie. Smartistic is actually in the Urban Dictionary, and here's what it means. The enviable ability of being both smart and artistic, possessed by those who can create beautiful and meaningful, intelligent art, and those who can speak, act intelligently in a beautiful way. That's pretty cool. And I thought I made up that word. And I could not have made up a better definition for that word. Some artistic from the Urban Dictionary. The fact that that exists, that that's a word that my spell check didn't even, you know, underline at all, means there must be plenty of smartistic people out there in the world. People like me. And perhaps, in fact, I know that I am one of those people. And maybe this is a belief that you have identified with yourself in the past. And what I want to invite you to consider is that smartistic is a thing, and you are both. You are intelligent, you are smart, you are creative, you are artistic, you are both, and embrace it. Look for the evidence. As I work on unpacking this belief, that's something that comes up a lot, is looking at the evidence. And instead of, like I had done before, pointing to the fact that I read all the time, or I read this article, or I learned about that thing, or I took that course, or I did that training, instead of pointing to my credentials or my certificates or, you know, the stack of books that I have actually finished reading, instead of doing that from this place of, see, look how smart I am. See, let me prove it because I'm insecure. Instead of coming from that place of insecurity, now what I'm looking to do and what I'm practicing doing is coming from the perspective of, oh, yes, I did learn that thing. Hey, I do know something about that topic. And looking at what I know and how I present the information that I know, how I'm able to access my knowledge and apply it. And I'm seeing it as evidence, reinforcing the identity that I want to adopt, the smartistic Sarah. That is this place of, again, it's a different energy. It's not, I have to prove it because I'm pretty sure I don't have it. It's, no, I do have it. Let's look at the evidence. Let's look at what supports this claim that I'm making, that I am as smartistic as I say, or as I believe. So that's a difference. It's, you know, again, outwardly, it can be pointing to the same thing. Look at this pile of books that I read. Look at this thing that I know. Look at this training I've done. And it's like, no, I'm doing it because I love learning, and because my brain just hungers for new knowledge, and I'm open to changing my perspective. And the intelligence that I do have within me demands that I have so many tools in my toolbox with which to create my own identity, my own persona, and my own art, and my own craft, and my own business. Okay, because I can make a living being an artist, being creative, being connected, and being smart. It requires both intelligence and creativity, especially owning my own business. It requires intelligence and creativity. So I have no other choice but to show up as both, as my shining smartistic self. So what do you think about all this? What do you think about your creativity? Does identifying as an artistic or creative person, is that preventing you from pursuing certain opportunities in your life? Or are you miles ahead of me and already living abundantly in the smartistic dream, embracing your identity as both? What stories are you telling about your abilities? Whether it's about playing chess or taking that higher level math or science class, what could you choose to believe about yourself instead? Like I'm doing, like I'm choosing every day going forward, now that I've identified what was actually going on in my mind, in my soul, in my emotions, in my way deep down, right? Because that's the cool thing about it. We get to choose how we see ourselves. And I can choose to see myself how other people see me, as an artist who's never going to make it or never going to make a living. Or I can choose to see myself how I want to see myself, as defying those limiting expectations, as showing the world it's possible to be so completely myself that I can be and wherever I go, in whatever space I want to take up. If I want to take up the artistic space, the creative space, I can be there and bring my intelligence, I apply my intelligence to it to create something that's completely my own, that the world will value. I would much rather choose the latter, because I get to choose who I am. I get to choose where I go and what I do. And that identity, I am smart, I am artistic, I am smartistic, I am creative and intelligent, I am limitless. These affirmations, these help me to shine for the sake of the people I want to help, the people I want to serve, the people I want to show that they have more magic in them, as more magic than they believe is possible. Because that's what I'm doing for myself. And that's what my coaches and my mentors and other people who haven't been the ones holding me down, that's what they're doing for me, is showing me that who I am, it's there, and it's worth embracing, it's worth stepping into, it's worth owning. And I can do that for others. And I would invite you to find somebody who can help you really identify those maybe conflicting beliefs, those things that are in your own mind that are holding you back, the stories you tell about who you are. Because even if we're telling effective stories or positive stories, sometimes they are still just stories that may or may not be true. And we can tell a different story, or we can stop telling stories altogether and just be who we are. Now I'm rambling because I've gone off script. I've come to the end of my notes and I am just riffing here because I really love this topic and I want to talk about it more, and I feel like I have more to say, but maybe not on this podcast. So if you would love to continue the conversation about being artistic, being intelligent, being both, being the two different things that you think are in conflict, but maybe are far more powerful when they become linked, enmeshed, and this and that, even if you think it's completely opposite or totally in conflict, let's talk more about it. You can find me at sarahdeacon.com, no H in Sarah, sarahdeacon.com. You can find me on the social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Sarah Deacon Coach, or Facebook and Instagram at My Martial Arts, the letter N, Crafts. And I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please make sure you subscribe so you get notified about new episodes. And leave me a great review if you enjoy the kind of topics that I discuss, the soothing sounds of my voice, or anything else about the podcast, about who I am, about how I show up. I want to connect with you. If you like what I'm doing, please let me reach more people. Leave me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and yeah, subscribe wherever you're listening. I appreciate you listening, and I look forward to talking to you next week.